Grace to you and peace from God, who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. If you're anything like me, after a long committee meeting or a tough morning in worship, the last thing you need is regular Christianity. You know, with all of its moral obligations and commitments. I've always liked the taste and appearance of regular Christianity, but for me and my lifestyle, it's just too much. That's why I'm so excited that I found this new Christianity Light. It's a faith that has all of the promises and appearance of the old Christianity, but only one-tenth the commitment. Now, I don't have to be concerned if I ever spend enough time in prayer or scripture. I don't even have to be concerned about helping my neighbors in need. That's all behind me now that I've found Christianity Light. If you like being a Christian, but you find that it gets in the way of how you want to live your life, then I recommend Christianity Light, the faith for the me kind of person. That's right, brothers and sisters, opening soon next to Panera, a new Christianity Light Life Center. We don't have churches or congregations in Christianity Light. That's too much commitment. Come on out to the CLLC, where we'll watch videos of other people helping to bring water to parched villages in Africa. We'll learn about how other folks are helping to rebuild in North Carolina and Virginia after the hurricanes of last year, and out west in the burned-out communities of California. Here at Christianity Light, there is no sense of obligation, no sense of commitment, and definitely no call to ministry on your part required. If you feel moved, just text in a donation. Christianity Light, all the flavor of the Christian faith with only one-tenth the commitment. You know those old adages about full-flavored Christian faith? Help your neighbor? You don't actually need to lend a hand. Just give them a hearty, have a great day. See someone in need? You don't need to worry about getting up off of the sofa and actually doing something. Simply open up your wallet and use our convenient kiosk located near the entrance. What about loving others? Just think happy thoughts. That'll do the trick. In this day and age, with all we have going on in our lives, who has time for that sense of call or commitment that regular old-fashioned Christianity talks about? Call now. Good, you got it. Thank you. I was a little worried there for a moment. So speaking of call, how committed is Paul in his own call? We heard him in the reading from Corinthians just a few minutes ago. He started off his entire faith gig by hunting down those errant followers of a discredited rabbi. At times, Paul even caused their death. We learn about that way back in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and the stoning death of Stephen. Admittedly, Paul's point of view changes very shortly after Stephen's death in his encounter with Christ along the Damascus Road. At first, Paul is not accepted by those very people that he was persecuting and prosecuting. We can understand that. But when he eventually is accepted by the believers, more often than not, it's the political or religious leaders who either toss him in jail or out of town, regardless of whatever town, Greek or Hebrew, he happens to be in. In Paul's own words, he says, "I have worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times by the Jews, 39 lashes, been beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once, I've been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in cities, at risk in country, endangered by desert sea and desert sun and sea storms, and betrayed by those that I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by cold, naked to the weather." Paul was even once bitten by a poisonous snake, and after using his Roman citizenship to get himself out of trouble with a bunch of overzealous town leaders, he eventually wound up in Rome, where, rather than betraying his faith, Paul accepted his own execution by beheading. So let me ask you, how committed to your call do you have to be in order to lose your head over faith? This is what Paul wrote about Jesus. The Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it. He was buried. He was raised from death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says. He presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time, that he then spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting that I bring up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you may well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. What kind of a call, what kind of commitment does Jesus have? For Jesus, his life is his call. His life is the commitment that then comes to all of us. And it's that same call that we hear in our baptism. Now, hopefully you realize that I was being a bit facetious and my cynical and sarcastic self with that whole Christianity light stuff. That was actually written by a friend of mine, Marcia Roscoe, from the Synod office. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who call themselves believers who say that they are Christian, and yet that's how they tend to look at living out their faith. I go to church. I put money in the plate. I'm mostly a nice person. What more do you want from me? How is God being made known in your life through your call? Do you know what our Constitution says that it takes to be eligible to vote in this congregation? Well, actually, in any ELCA congregation, because it's the basic of our constitutions. In order to vote in an ELCA congregation, you have to be a baptized member who has communed and contributed once on record in either this or the previous year. And do you know how most Lutheran pastors define an active member, Trinity's pastors included? An active member is somebody who attends worship once a month. We're not really asking a whole lot of you guys. So let me ask you this again. How is God being made known in your life through your call? Now, hopefully you remember what your call is. Our call starts at our baptism with the promises that are made. They're having a baptism over in Fellowship Hall with the contemporary worship, but let me remind us what those promises are. At our baptism were promises made to live among God's faithful people, to take part in the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the commandments, to nurture self and others in faith and prayer. Will you proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace? Those are the promises you're asked. Those are the promises we're all asked. How are you living out that call? What are you doing that tells other people you are a Christian, you are a follower of Christ? What is it in your own life that tells others that you are indeed abiding by the call of your baptism without having to say it verbally? To be honest, if I wasn't wearing this fancy collar, I'm not sure that anyone would necessarily know I'm a believer based solely on my actions. Christianity Light is a funny little commercial. Unfortunately, too often, I think Christianity Light is how we all tend to live our faith. Christ calls us to a deeper commitment. Christ calls us to live that faith. Stop thinking, what can I do? Stop looking for somebody else to tell you what to do, how to believe. Instead, let's strive to be like Peter. Listen when Jesus talks to us. Do what he tells us to, so that together we can heed Christ's call. Amen.